Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
It's another SPN special. Hello, everyone. I'm Ricky Enger.
And I'm Jamie Pauls.
And we are bringing you the first of many specials that come to you directly from the exhibit floor in sunny San Diego for CSUN 2014.
That's exactly right.
Just thought of something. Jamie, do you think there's any way that they'll know that these first interviews didn't come from the show floor?
Well, let's see. There's no rolling cart sounds. There's no dogs in the background. There are no voices. Nobody yelling at anyone. That could
the
be a problem.
Crowd noise. This is just the kind of little details that always trip me up. Well, we could get the post-production guys to put in some... Yeah, but then I'm afraid that somebody might recognize the same dog barking in exactly the same way. I think we better just come clean.
So I guess what happened then, right? Tell me if this is right, that you and Joe actually sat down with some people before CSUN, because you guys have got a ton of stuff to do while you're there, including more interviews, presentations, recording some other presentations from hymns, and you just didn't have enough time to maybe get it all squeezed in, right?
That's pretty much exactly what happened, and we really appreciate the people who were able to take some time out of their busy schedules just before CSUN to speak with us. A little bit of SPN history or something here, a Serotalk fact for those of you who are going to play the SPN trivia game that doesn't exist yet and possibly never will. Each year, except for one, I think, Jeff Baser from Dolphin, and this was totally by happenstance, but he was the first vendor that I was able to interview on the show floor at CSUN. And it just kept happening that way. It was the strangest thing. Interestingly enough, this year, Jeff from Dolphin is the first to be interviewed as well. Only this time, he's not talking to me, but we can take a listen.
Let's do that.
Hey, everyone, in studio this time, and for the CSUN 2014 coverage sponsored by HIMSS here on the Serotalk Podcast Network with my good friend Jeff Baser from Dolphin Computer Access. Jeff, this is a little different. We don't have the crowd yelling at us. We don't have things flying all over the place, and we can actually concentrate on what's going on at Dolphin, huh?
Hey, Joe, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of different. I'm used to seeing you right in front of our booth all the time.
Well, I'll be by. Got to be all over the swag. Don't get me wrong. I'm all over that. But we thought we'd do some things a little different this year and give some of our good friends an opportunity to come on and not have to have the crowd going in the background and feature what's going on over there on your neck of the woods.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for having us. We're really excited this year for CSUN as far as Dolphin goes. We have two central themes going on at our booth this year. The first of which is read how you want what you want. We are introducing our Dolphin bookshelf into several of our Dolphin products. It's been in our Say So product already, but we're now moving it into Supernova and Guide. And along with that, we are introducing touchscreen support for the first time with Supernova and Guide as well. So a lot of exciting things for us and really surrounding those two things this year, Joe.
Wow. That is more product integration that started with screen magnification and moving the ancillary product lines into the one great Supernova, which has been around for a very long time. And I, full disclosure, have been a previous beta tester for Dolphin. So I know what I'm saying in that particular way. But to bring some of these other products in, this feels like a really big platform now.
Yeah, I think it is. It is for sure. And the big thing is, this has been our hope for a long time. We've been working with content providers to be able to really make this a viable solution. And it's really exciting now because we've teamed up with folks like Bookshare and some of the other major libraries to really make this a great experience. And if I can explain just a little bit about how this works. If you think of going to a website now and all the work you have to do to download a book, for example, as far as unzipping the book, getting it in the right folder, getting it on the right reader, possibly, you know, things like that. Or if you're going to a news website, for example, a newspaper site, and seeing all of the advertising and animation on screen and things like that, sometimes your screen reader doesn't stay in the same place where you want it. So it can be a little tough to get at the content that you want. And so what we've done here is really simplified the experience and now made it possible for you to literally, and we say, read what you want, how you want, because you can bring the content into our bookshelf program. And then you know, as far as magnification features go, you can set those the way you want them, use the speech that you want to, and that kind of thing. Plus, it all happens behind the scenes as far as preparing the content. So the unzipping, the putting it in the right folder, all happens by you pressing one button. So you basically search the catalog, find what you want, hit the download button, and boom, the download button then turns into a read button, and you open it in our accessible ebook reader, and you're good to go. So it has really simplified the experience. And along with that, Joe, if I can just mention, Bookshelf also brings OCR capability into Supernova. So for the first time here, we've got the capability, if you run into image PDF files and need to be able to read those, we can do that in Supernova now with OCR, at least the first line of OCR built in this time.
Wow, that's a little different than adding Cicero and the like back in the old day of putting up that third tab into Supernova. So that's really crazy. What about exporting? Can we export that information over to other things? You had said players and the like. Does that mean I have to stay within the Dolphin ecosystem, or can I move that over to another device or even a smartphone?
Right. So it really depends on what you want to do with it. Once you've got the content there, you can. You can save it out and move it on to other devices. That's not a problem. We made sure that capability was there because, of course, we know portability is the name of the game and taking it with you. And so, absolutely, you have the ability to do all of that as well, which is probably a good segue into our touchscreen support that we're introducing for the first time. And by the way, this will be all beta software at this point here for Supernova. So it's going to be a great time for you guys to come in the booth, take a look, see what you like, maybe even what you don't like, and tell us about it. And we'll put the finishing touches on it and have this out very quickly. But as far as portability goes, you know, we were talking about this. We're introducing touchscreen capability for the first time in Supernova and in Guide as well. And we're going to be showing these on various portable devices to be able to take a look at this. We'll have it on 8 and 11 inch tablet devices. We'll have a 15 inch laptop, and then we'll have it on the larger 27 inch touch displays as well. So you'll really be able to take a look at this exactly on several different places and see how you like it. So that'll be a beautiful thing, and you'll be able to do that with Supernova and Guide as well.
Now, what about some of the other products such as Producer and Creator and all of those? Certainly, this is kind of a repurposing in a way of some of those products into a consumer line, but some of the educational products are still available and still doing well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, alive and well. We've got Dolphin Publisher, which is our high-end DAISY production tool. Of course, that's for human-narrated DAISY books if you're going that route. And we have support now for EPUB on there as well. And that is really exciting because that's, of course, the mainstream format that these digital books are going to. So you can actually produce EPUB books now in Dolphin Publisher, and with the support for the media overlays as well for images and for syncing up the text and speech, it's all there. So this is really the next level of DAISY, where it's going, the next reiteration of. And we're ready to do that with Publisher now. And that'll be coming in Easy Converter very soon as well. And then the other thing we're doing in Easy Converter is streamlining the process for Braille embossers, the index line of Braille embossers. So that'll be coming out as well. But yep, they're all still there. And this is really a version of Easy Reader that we're using with our Dolphin Bookshelf as well. So we've really added some of the capabilities there too. And what'll be nice is with Easy Reader, you'll be able to do much of the same things.
I really think people don't understand there's a great ecosystem there, products that have been built up over time, well-used and well-familiarized products in those educational settings. And this is a great opportunity for people to be able to try these things out and see what's already been working and certainly give an idea of where this can go in the future. Where can they find all this wonderful stuff, Jeff?
We are, you mean as far as our booth goes?
Oh, all of that. If you're listening to this during convention, and of course, where can they find you afterwards?
Absolutely. All right. So at any time, you can go to our Dolphin website, and that is www.yourdolphin.com. And you can download a 30-day trial of any of these programs. And that's the beautiful thing, Joe, is that we try to make it as easy as we can and as convenient as we can for folks to find us. But then to take, you know, as much time as they need, really, to utilize our products and see what they think. So you don't have to worry about rebooting the computer after an hour or whatever it is. You've got 30 days to try out any of these products. And then we can simply unlock any of our programs with a code if you decide you want to purchase these. So we make it you know, as streamlined and as easy as possible. So you can go to yourdolphin.com and download a 30-day demo of any of these. And if I can just tell you, Joe, quickly, two last things. We're going to have a chance for you to win a Windows 8 Dell tablet. So a Dell tablet with Windows 8 will be at our booth. So you can win that. You can register to win at our booth or at any of our Dolphin presentations. And by the way, we're going to do one of our touchscreen presentations concentrating on Guide and Supernova. That will be in the Golden Hill A and B on Thursday afternoon. So that's Thursday the 20th at 4:20 in the afternoon in Golden Hill A and B, which is in the Seaport Tower on the third floor. So if you want to come and get a closer look at these, maybe you got a chance to take a look in the booth, but you wanted to do a few more things, you can come and check out our presentation. Again, 4:20 in the afternoon, Golden Hill A and B on the Seaport third floor.
Speech, magnification, and now OCR, and the ability to move text into many different places and devices. All that and more is over at the Dolphin booth, so make sure you go by and see them or pick up that demo. Jeff, thank you so much for taking some time out and speaking ahead of time. And this is kind of weird, but I will come by and not, see you. So it's not all virtual. It's an actual handshake, and good to see you, my man.
Oh, great to see you, Joe. And thank you, as always, for all that you guys do at Serotalk. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate it. So thanks, Joe.
Definitely go check out the Dolphin booth from a virtual place. That's right. A virtual place, not just San Diego. This is Joe Steinkamp for the Serotalk Podcast Network, season coverage sponsored by HIMSS.
Well, we certainly wouldn't want to totally break tradition. So even though Jeff didn't get to speak directly with Ricky, we're glad he got to visit with Joe. And we're glad that we were able to feature Dolphin as our first guest in our, what I suppose we could call our pre-season SPN special.
Live from somewhere in cyberspace, I'm Ricky Enger for the Serotalk Podcast Network, doing our CSUN coverage sponsored by HIMSS. And this time you guys get two for the price of one. I have the privilege of catching up with both Greg Stilson and Matthew Genesauskas from Humanware. Hey, guys.
Hey, Ricky.
Good to be recording this without people yelling in the background about finding different booths and hitting you with backpacks and the like as you record, right? Yeah, it's a little quieter than usual.
It's a little quieter, a little nicer.
Well, it's always good to catch up with both of you guys. And I think we'll start with Matthew this time. Matthew is product manager for the Digital Talking Books division. And some really cool things going on. The most recent release of firmware for the Victor Reader Stream brings a whole lot of new features to the product. Do you want to talk about that a little?
Absolutely. We're certainly excited about the features that are included, and also the pace that we've been able to deliver the features. This is version 4.3 on the stream, and I was looking back, and nice. If I just have this figured out correctly, it's our third major update in 11 months of shipping the latest generation of Victor Reader Stream. So I feel that we've been fairly aggressive in trying to add new features and meet the requests of the users. So for this most recent one, it's really centered around the wireless capabilities of the device and getting content as directly on the device and easily as possible without needing to use the PC. That's what we all want. It's a device that we use when we're out on the go. And we don't have a PC with us, so the less reliant on that, the better. So the major features in the version, the one that I think people, it's safe to say, the most excitement has surrounded is the addition of internet radio on the stream.
Yes.
And the way that we did that is we partnered with OOTunes that I know a number of your listeners will be familiar with. I'm sorry, I'm still saying it incorrectly. OOTunes.
Oh, is it? It is actually OOTunes, is it? Okay,
it is,
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, and we got it. We had a debate internally, so we went directly to the source, the author of the service, because we wanted to make sure that we had the TTS say it correctly, and in case we needed to do some tricks, as you know, sometimes that's necessary to make that happen.
Right.
So yes, it is Utunes, but I know that many of your listeners are familiar with it from the iOS app. I know that it's pretty popular and accessible, and we were very happy to be able to use the content there. It's great. It's 36,000 stations and counting. I know that the service is very aggressive about keeping it up to date, and they're also very willing to add something if you can manage to find something that isn't already there. I know that they're very open to adding stations all the time or fixing it if you report a broken link or so on. So I really think it's the best partnership that we probably could have found to deliver the content. And by doing that, it's for those that maybe aren't so familiar with it or using it on the with an iOS app, there's a couple of things you can do. You can, of course, directly search for something that you know you're looking for, and then we've provided some browsing functions as well, so you could search for a particular genre of station, for example. And then what we also did is we, in typical Victor Reader fashion, we wanted to make sure that by adding, a higher-end feature like that for searching for stations and so on, we also recognized that maybe a new stream user or someone that's more of a typical reading NLS books type of user, I'm trying to say, and maybe they're not so used to using the keypad to type in a search phrase or so on. We wanted to make sure that there was a way for them to be able to enjoy the internet radio as well while they're getting more familiar with the device, for example. So what we did is we introduced this idea of what we call the Humanware playlist. And what that's about is based on the language and the version or the regional software that you have on your device, there's a playlist. So for example, for us and probably most of the people that will listen to this, the North America English playlist has, and this is the case for all of the countries and regions that we localize the stream in, it's would be government or national radio, for example, if the country has such a thing, CBC in Canada, for example. For the U.S., we would use something more like NPR,
right,
BBC, those types of things. And then any blindness-related sources. Those are the two
things
that we would put there. We wouldn't want to put something like a commercial radio or whatever. You can certainly access that through OOTunes. The ones we want to mention for sure that's on the North American one is the SPN radio.
We've indeed. Got
good, feedback about that. People enjoying to be able to easily tune in. So that's kind of the way internet radio works. And then the last feature is, of course, if you have more of a private or what we call a custom station, we did update the Humanware Companion software for the PC. So it does have the ability for you to, if you know the direct URL of a private stream that you would need for some reason, you can certainly export that via file.
Fantastic.
And bring it in as a separate playlist. So that's internet radio. It's a lot of fun. People can see it at CSUN if they like. And then the other features I'll mention is Wikipedia and Wiktionary. It's there. So in any of your text-based content, you might be reading a newspaper from NFB Newsline or a Bookshare book that you've downloaded. You can just, with a simple button press, you can search the book as you've been able to do before. And then you press again and you can search Wikipedia. Or press again and search Wiktionary. And the way that we did the Wikipedia is, for you listeners that are familiar, you know, normally when you search for something there, at the top of the page, they present just a short synopsis of the article, giving you the definition or so on. And then you can certainly drill down for everything there is to know on said topic. So what we did is when you search for that, well, let me say two things, because we've had some questions since we released it. It's also because of the amount of content available on Wikipedia, for example. If you're not precise enough, you will get on the PC what they call, I had to learn to say this correctly, a disambiguation page where you have to tell it what you really were looking for. Since the stream doesn't have a browser, we're not able to do that. So what we do is a little bit of magic in the background, and we're retrieving what would be the first result if you did the search on the PC. And most of the time it's correct, but in cases of where it's a term that could have a few different meanings, we recognize it might not always be. And the way that you address that on the stream would be to just refine your search to be more precise. But it doesn't seem to be necessary very often. Then back to what I was saying about what we do is we just present you that synopsis at the beginning. And we just prompt the user, because normally that's enough of what you wanted to know. So you can either just press play to return exactly back to the place you left off in your book when you did the search, which is great. Or you can press the confirm key and we actually retrieve the entire article and put it on a new online bookshelf that we call references. And then it's there for you to review just as you would any other DAISY content. So importantly, you can navigate by the headings of the article in Wikipedia to quickly find what you want. You can save those articles offline under your SD card if you want to read them later, to share with someone else if you're collaborating on a school project, for example.
Right.
And Wiktionary works exactly the same way. And for people that aren't familiar, that's just the dictionary service that's offered by the Wikipedia Foundation. And we chose that service because, it, interestingly enough, it seems to have some content. The amount varies for sure, but it does have some content in all of the languages that we supply the Victor Reader stream on. So it's great that it's even of use in some of the more obscure countries in Europe, for example, and they can find dictionary definitions in their own language. And then the last feature I'll mention here, I'll refer people to the website. There's always lots of little things that we do, of course, and address suggestions and feature requests along the way, and people can read about those on the website or in the release notes. But the last one I'll mention here is for Bookshare. You know, we've had a great partnership with Bookshare for a number of years. We started out with of course, manually downloading books, and you used to have to unpack them and so on, and it was a multiple step process. And then when previous updates on the stream, we were very happy to add the wireless capability to use the Bookshare API, so you can do a search and download the book directly on the stream, and it's everything else that's necessary happens in the background. There's no unzipping or anything required by the user. And then we just enhanced that a bit more in Stream 4.3. We took advantage of a few more things that Bookshare makes available to us. So now you can have access to some dynamic lists that they provide with things such as the most recently added books to the Bookshare collection.
Right, or New York bestsellers, nice that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And an interesting one that I wasn't so familiar with is they also do categorization of their catalog. So there's 30-some categories that they make available. So again, just like internet radio, perhaps you don't have a particular title or author in mind, so you can browse by these categories or subjects to find something new and interesting to read. If you're not sure enough from the title, you can always press your Where Am I key, and we're able to read the book synopsis to you that you would see if you were looking on the website. And then just a single key press of confirm to download the book and add it to your bookshelf. So lots of great stuff that's there. Again, all leveraging the wireless capabilities of the device so that you can have access to what you want when you're out on the go.
Yes, very convenient. And with the Wi-Fi capability, one of my favorite things about the Victor has always been the battery life. You just can't beat that. Is that modified in any way now that you're making heavier use of the Wi-Fi? What kinds of playtimes can you expect even when utilizing Wi-Fi to download things and the like?
That's a great question. And I guess the way I'll answer that is, let's say that we planned for that in the design stage of the latest generation stream. So knowing that we were going to add wireless capabilities and knowing how important the 15-hour battery life was to users from the original stream, we wanted to make sure to maintain that. So the answer to the question is, of course, that using Wi-Fi does use a bit more power, but the impact that you would notice is really minimal, I would feel safe in saying. So it's more things that would make a bigger difference really haven't changed on the device. It's more about some couple of obvious things, or maybe to some of us, and maybe some that aren't so obvious. The volume that you're playing with the internal speaker, for example, could certainly have an impact.
Yes.
One that's not so obvious is I know that a lot of people use the speed control on the stream. It's known to be one of the best that's out there on a similar device. So, for example, if you're using listening to your books at a real high rate of speed, especially audio, not so much for text to speech, but if you're listening with a sped up audio book, that's pretty processor intensive. There's an algorithm that we're using to make sure to do that without affecting the pitch and so on. So if you're doing those types of things, that would probably make a more noticeable difference in the battery than using Wi-Fi. And even then, it's still not anything major that we're talking about.
Excellent. Just quickly, what is the current price for this iteration of the stream?
The stream is for US, it's $369. And it's free shipping if you order on the Humanware website.
Good deal. Thank you, Matthew. It's always a pleasure to talk about the Victor Reader Stream. Mine refuses to die thus far, but you never know. It might experience an accident at CSUN. We shall see. Thank you again for talking with us for a few moments about the stream. And now we're going to go over to Greg's little corner of cyberspace and talk with him. Again, Greg Stilson, the product manager for the Braille division of Humanware. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Thanks, Ricky. Welcome to my corner. So at Humanware, we really pushed forward last year in 2013 and had a bit of a different approach at software development for the Braille Node Apex. We wanted to start focusing on accomplishing tasks that couldn't be done on other devices. Today, people are carrying around smartphones, tablets, Braille devices, tons of different things that all do different tasks. And you could ask the average sighted person, what do you use a PC for? What do you use your iPhone for? What do you use your tablet for? And they'll all have different things that they say. And so our goal is no longer to duplicate tasks that can be done on other devices that maybe do them more efficiently. But our goal is to really be able to accomplish things on the Apex that can't be done on other devices. Last year, I think we accomplished that quite well. The first major thing that we did in December of 2013 was we did a software update that made the Apex the first device out there that could do math Braille to print translation. And that was really a huge accomplishment because there has been no device out there that can take allow a student to go into a math class, write their assignment in Nemeth Braille, and just basically print out a print copy for the sighted teacher. And there was a number of really convoluted steps that people had to go through. And the Apex yes. being as popular in education as it is, I'm sure, Ricky, you did math the same way that I did, which was, writing on a Perkins Brailler and having a TVI write the print on top of the Braille.
Got it. Yep.
Yes. So what I'm very happy to say is that the Apex is now still currently the only all-in-one device that allows a student to write Nemeth Braille. It'll speak it, so you get the multimodal tactile and audio feedback to be able to write your math in Nemeth Braille, perfect Nemeth Braille, and then just either export it as a Microsoft Word document or connect up to a printer and give it directly to the sighted teacher. There's no delay now where you have to have a TVI writing the print on top of the Braille. So it was a pretty big update, and we've gotten some awesome feedback from teachers and students in the field actually using it, really cutting down the time between the student completing the assignment and when it got turned in. Then the other one was with Keysoft 9.4 in December was doing something that can be done on other devices, but on a PC or other tools at times, PowerPoint can be a bit of a daunting task. And the mm-hmm. Apex does provide a PowerPoint viewer that I use on a regular basis now. I never realized just how easy it is to give a PowerPoint presentation from a Braille display like this, but just opening up a PowerPoint 2007 or later file, you can see all the bullets, all the slide numbers, you can transition from slide to slide. But what we've done in Braille is actually providing a slide layout so that you can actually see, okay, here's a table, here's a bullet, this line is centered. You can see that mm-hmm. all in Braille and get a sense of where your headings are versus your bullets as you're presenting. So it's pretty powerful, and myself, I love the fact that I don't have to have a headphone stuck in my ear listening to a screen reader while I'm trying to present now. So
yeah, great to be able to do that all from the Braille display. And again, this is supporting Office 2007 and above. So if somebody has 2013 or 2007, 2010, they're going to be set, right?
Correct. Yep. You look for that PPTX, that X extension on the file mm-hmm. type. What we're announcing at CSUN this year is it's a smaller update, and the main focus was to do a few bug fixes and things like that, but we actually were able to slide in a couple really powerful features. The first one, as you know, we've had a great partnership with Sendero Group for the past 15 years or so, and mm-hmm. What we've done now is actually really synergize Sendero and Keysoft, the Braille Notes interface. So we actually have a new application that will be released in Keysoft 9.41 at CSUN, which is called Keymaps. And One piece, as I said, that we're really focusing on is trying to do things that other devices can't do. And one of the things that a sighted person can do on, say, a smartphone or tablet is if they're going to a hotel, they can quickly punch in the address of the hotel and go on Google Earth or go on Google Maps and look at the streets around that hotel and say, okay, here's the layout of the location that I'm going to. Here's some nice restaurants that are nearby.
Sendero does that. Here's where I can find coffee. The most important thing ever.
Trust me, I've looked at that for the Manchester Hyatt. So. But what a sighted or what a blind person now can do with key maps is Sendero provides a way for us to, you'll go right into the key maps application off the main menu. You can download any map in the country that you choose. And you can do that all on the device. So you don't have to connect to a computer. You don't have to download from a PC. You can if you want to download from a PC. And in some respects, your speed on the PC may be a little faster. But
right.
Like, for example, I downloaded the California map for CSUN on my Apex. And I punched in the Manchester Hotel's address. And I can virtually now walk around getting audio cues and braille cues of which way the streets go, what streets are around the hotel. I could even virtually ahead of time do a route from the hotel to some restaurant that I know I want to go to and really get an understanding of how to go there before I actually arrive there. Sendero refers to it as informed travel, and I really respect that term because as a blind person, it's often daunting to go to a new location, not really have a visual map inside your mind of what it's going to look like. And so this is really a way that we can take the anxiety out of travel for a blind user. And with Key Maps, if you are an Apex user, upgrading to the full GPS package, which will allow you to actually take your Apex outside and it'll walk you through as you're walking around. Before, that was a price of over $1,100. And now, for Apex users, we can reduce that price to $599. So we're very happy to take a little bit of the price barrier away if we can.
So if a person doesn't currently own the full version of the GPS package, is Key Maps still available for virtual exploration just as a part of Keysoft?
Correct. Yep. This is just a new application. Key Maps is a separate now application from the full GPS. So if you aren't a GPS user, if you've never used it before, it's a really interesting way to get your feet wet and to really find a great use for virtual travel. So when you upgrade to Keysoft 9.41, you'll see the navigation option right on your main menu, and it'll just take you right into Key Maps for the virtual travel. And if you like what you see there and you want to be able to take it outside, you can contact HumanWare's customer service team, request a license code to activate the full GPS, and you'll also get a new GPS receiver that you can pair via Bluetooth with your Apex.
Very nice. And I think you guys didn't stop there. In addition to bug fixes, you had one more cool update to Keysoft,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this one's more for the education market, as one of the biggest requests we've had by teachers is they don't want to take a monitor around to all the classes to visually see what's on the Apex, what their students doing, things like that, to help them out. And what we've done is using the Apex wireless or wired network, as long as the Apex and an iPad or tablet or smartphone are all on the same network, so you both have the same internet connection. So if you're in school, mm-hmm. you've connected to the same network. We can actually mirror the Apex's visual display directly to an iPad so that a sighted teacher who carries their iPad pretty much with them at all times now.
All the time, yep.
Exactly, yep. So they can have that iPad, you know, across the room if they want, and just checking out what the student's doing, if the student needs orientation help in Keysoft or something like that. So this is a free update that's launched at CSUN.
Very good. And for Keysoft, I believe that beginning last year, you were providing generally free updates for whatever you're releasing for Keysoft, right? At some point, there may be a paid upgrade, but for the next little while, they're all free, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We really wanted to follow the release schedule and the release process that we do for all of our products. And we, for all of our products, as you've seen with Matthew's Victor Reader products, the upgrades have always been free. And you know, it's a large investment for the hardware itself, and so we want to make sure that people are running the most up-to-date version of the software so that they can get the most out of the hardware that they can possibly get. So they're free updates, and as I said, we're going to bring as much as we can included with the price of the hardware.
Very good. So for any of your products, for Keysoft updates, for information about the Brilliant or the Victor and the like, where's the best place to go to find out information?
So the best place is going to be our website, obviously, www.humanware.com, or you can contact our customer service or tech support team or any of the sales reps at 800-722-3393.
Fantastic. It was great to catch up with you both. We wish you a wonderful show and congratulations on all of the interesting things you're doing at Humanware.
Thanks a lot, Ricky. We'll look forward to seeing you and others at the CSUN. And for those that aren't able to do so, we also welcome you to interact with us on social media as well. If your listeners are using Facebook or Twitter, we're doing those things and we'll be sharing some news there as well during the conference. And if that's a more convenient way for people to send us suggestions or feedback, we're happy to do that as well.
Thanks a lot, Ricky. For those of you who will want to visit us, we are in booth 213.
Great. Thank you both.
Thanks, Ricky.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger. Meet EBOT, the revolutionary new portable video magnifier from HIMSS. EBOT is perfect for the classroom. It lets a student see what's on a smart board or on her desk.
Images can be displayed wirelessly on any iPad or Android tablet.
The EBOT is controlled using standard touchscreen gestures, so it only takes moments to learn.
Want more information?
Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com. Or if you'll be at CSUN, visit us in booths 705 and 805. EBOT, the new standard in video magnifiers. It's also tradition that I speak with Matthew Genesauskas and Greg Stilson from Humanware, and was so happy to be able to do that this time. Of course, blindness isn't the only thing that we focus on at CSUN. There are also lots of great interviews about low vision, just like this one with AI Squared.
Hey everyone, Joe Steinkamp once again, not in San Diego just yet. No, we're in cyberspace with more CSUN coverage for 2014 sponsored by HIMSS. And with me today is my good friend Doug Hacker of AI Squared. Hey, Doug, how is it going and how do you like cyberspace?
It's great, Joe. I've been here before, so it's not really surprising, but thanks for having me.
Cool. You can point out all the high points as we go along the way. And in speaking of high points, there's a couple of things you've got going on here at CSUN for show. Why don't we talk first about Image Reader and what's going on with that?
Sure. At CSUN, we're going to be previewing our international release of Image Reader. So what we're doing, Image Reader has been out for a while now, shipping domestically. We're adding, we hope to be shipping 10 localizations here, 10 different languages. We are shipping them also with new speech engines from Nuance, the Vocalizer series. And what we're doing is making it easy for our users, once they buy Image Reader, we are going to deliver and give them the ability to use any of those languages without additional licensing. It's basically just pick the one you want. So there are no additional purchases, no additional downloads, but it's all available on the fly. If you're here at CSUN too, the thing I'd encourage you to look at is some of the neat stuff we're doing with multilingual documents. We're doing language switching on the fly. So, for instance, if you have a German invoice with a French item on it, we should be able to read both of those to you in the context they're presented in. So it's some really neat technology we've done for multilingual switching on the fly.
That is pretty cool, especially for those who are, say, in Canada or those who are learning a class like ESL or something like that.
Exactly. The Canadian market is a good example. And really, we came at this from literally the invoice example was exactly it. We have some of our dealers who sell products in languages that are not their own. So we'll have a German invoice with German letterhead, but the items will be in French, for example. And we've done some really cool stuff that I encourage everybody to stop by and look at.
Cool. Well, you know, we're standing here at the cusp of iOS 7.1 and, of course, a Mavericks update. So there's been a lot of Apple updating. And it sounds like there's also some updating for ZT for Mac.
Yeah, so what we're showing here at CSUN, and people have heard us hint about it for a long time, is we're showing some new reading tools for ZoomText Mac that are right on the brink of being ready to ship. I think what we're showing will be final UI, mostly just a few tweaks left in the upcoming weeks afterwards. But we're adding Focus Echo, Mouse Echo, and also this amazing reading tool that we're calling Web Reader that will pull article contents out from web pages and read it back to you with sentence highlighting, word highlighting, paragraph highlighting, and the great navigation and UI that you're used to with AI Squared products. We expect to be shipping that shortly. It's really cool to watch and demo, so I encourage you to look at that. When we ship the product, we'll actually be raising the price just a bit. But everybody who has purchased ZoomText Mac and helped us fund the development of this product will be getting that new reading functionality as a free upgrade. So I wanted to point that out.
That is incredible. And that's not all the upgrades that are out there. Of course, we're looking at Windows 8.1 that just is about to upgrade in April. And ZT itself for the Windows side is still rocking and rolling as well with 10.1, correct?
It is. And as you know, we were the first out there to support our full line of stuff on the Windows platform. We're running on Windows 8.1, and we're continuing to sort of backfill some of the features that we didn't include in the initial Windows 8 release. So our product line is merging and becoming much more stable all the time. And it's really an exciting thing to watch it grow and have been out there in front of this for the industry for quite a while.
Exactly. And note, let's say that 10.1 is stable. Sometimes Windows 8.1 is not stable. So consult your manuals or your help files accordingly. And that's just the nature of the beast these days. And, you know, it's kind of complicated. And that can be really hard to navigate. But I think this is kind of the thing that we want to really touch on with site queues. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. Site queues is a new product from AI Squared. And we announced it for the first time publicly at ATIA in Orlando, Florida. I know a lot of people heard about it, but they weren't exactly sure what was going on. So I offered to help clear that up a little bit. And I'll explain what's going on. So site queues, even though there's a new domain name, sitequeues.com, it is a product of AI Squared's. We opened up another branch of the company in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we have a separate engineering team out there working on site queues. What site queues is a tool that a website owner would deploy on their website that would give visitors to the site built-in Zooming and speech technologies with no download, available on demand. So let's be clear what we're doing here. The customer, the paying customer, would be a website owner or operator. So for instance, serotalk.com might come to us and say, I would like to deploy site queues. We would give them JavaScript code to insert into the header of their website. When a user visits the website, the JavaScript code will load the badge, the SiteQueues badge that appears usually at the top of the website. A user visiting the site would simply hover over the badge and it would expand and give them the built-in zooming and speech capabilities with no download, no install, no cost to the end user. So That's the 60-second pitch. I know, Joe, that you're curious and you probably have a lot of questions. So maybe rather than me sort of leading the whole thing with marketing speech, you can just ask some questions and I'll help work through it.
Sure. Okay. So first thing that comes to mind is this a certain type of browser? Is this Internet Explorer specific or does it have to be a certain version of a browser?
The tool is designed to be cross-browser capable. At this point, you know, browsers are all specific and they have their own quirks. We have it running on Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Internet Explorer versions 10 and 11. So the tool is designed from the ground up to be cross-browser compatible. Certainly, each browser has its little quirks and stuff, so we're working through some of those on different browsers. But generally speaking, you shouldn't run into a problem if you're using one of the major browsers out there.
Wow.
And that's okay. Also cross-platform PC, Mac as well.
Oh, okay. That takes that question off the table. is there something that lets the user know that they can initiate it? Can they do it by, say, a keystroke, or is there an auditory sound, or say just tab once and you land on the badge and hit enter? Or is there a certain way that you could do that?
So the website owner would position the tool generally in the upper left or upper right of the website, so that it's very visible. People are used to, our research shows that many people are used to those controls you see on websites that allow you to increase font size or change contrast. So the user design is a bit of a riff on that. But the difference is when you point to the tool, what happens is the badge itself increases in size, it magnifies, and displays what looks like a commonly recognized slider to increase magnification and a talking head that you can click on to hear speech. As you increase the magnification level, the slider will announce its own capabilities to you. It will speak to you and say, to see parts of the website magnified or read to you, hover over them and press the space bar. So the tool is incredibly easy to use. It's basically point, hit the space bar to get magnification and real-time speech back to the user. So we've done a lot of research on discoverability, a lot of focus groups, and really built a very powerful tool that's yet very easy to understand and discover.
That's wild. And like we had talked about with cross-platform, it's just open to all these different people that could possibly use it. But with that said, where is this position? What is the audience that you're looking for in adoption and use of this particular product?
Okay, this is the product is not targeted to traditional users of assistive technology. You know, we're not going to, nor are we trying to replace the technology that a Zoom Text user uses or a JAWS user. What we're doing is we're saying for that big part of the population who could use some help, and we know they're out there, who could use some help with magnification, use some help with speech. These are not only people who are with early vision loss or people who are just getting older, but people who have English as a second language, people with learning difficulties. We think there's a massive market for it as long as it's easy to use and deploy. Right now, one of the big barriers to assistive technology is doing things like paying for it, downloading it, installing it, training.
Yeah.
So what we've done is try to remove a lot of those barriers for a number of people who can benefit from this who aren't the traditional users of assistive technology.
Right. So familiar controls. I can give you a perfect analogy of how that works. I've been teaching my mother how to use my Xbox for Netflix, and she's had some minor success with the Kinect, but she doesn't want to touch the Xbox controller. When I went out and bought a regular TV-style remote for the Xbox, she was perfectly comfortable to arrow up and down because she has a satellite, and all of that made sense at that point. It's using regular controls that somebody might interact with daily in a website would feel more comfortable, I guess, would be a way of looking at it.
Exactly. And what we've done is we've architected the product so that we can add more functionality as the user gets used to the tool that they see initially. So the initial set of controls and functionality is very light and easy to approach, but the tool can reveal more functionality the more you use it and the more you discover.
And the way you described it, it seemed like it doesn't require that much coding or extra burden on server or server load to be able to put this on a site and have it available for people.
Right. From an installation perspective, I've probably installed SiteQs more than anything else. I'll just use some examples for you. If I know my way around WordPress, I can get a SiteQ site up and running in about 2 minutes from the developer standpoint. And that 2 minutes is just because I'm being careful, probably. So We've also architected the JavaScript code to load in as minimal amount of time as possible, impact the servers, because we expect that we'll have the kind of customers who really care about that sort of stuff. Most people would never notice what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, the whole product, remember, the whole product is configured as software as a service. So what's happening is, you know, we're hosting the JavaScript code. We're hosting anything that needs to be downloaded to the browser from an Amazon web service that can be scaled on demand to meet the needs of the users using it.
Makes sense. Okay, cool. So you said that there's a specific website for that. And of course, we want to mention AI Squared's website so you can find out about the other products we mentioned. Where can they find you, Doug?
So if you go to sitecues.com, and that's spelled SITECUES.com, you'll see tons of information. The product itself is live on the website. You can play with it yourself. You can read all our documentation, watch some nice videos about what's going on. We think we've done a really good job positioning and promoting the product. And mostly, if you're at CSUN, come out, stop by the booth. Once you see it in action, I think most people in this industry sort of get it right away. And it's a pretty exciting thing we think we're on the brink of.
And of course, to find out about ZT for Mac or ZoomText for Mac, sorry, I keep abbreviating that because I'm a longtime user. So to see about ZoomText for Mac and Image Reader and the rest of the products?
All the products are on AISquared.com, AI, spell it out, SQUARED.
And full disclosure, I've been a longtime ZoomText user going all the way back to 1991 for DOS. So I've been with the product a while. So it's I thought I'd let people know that for sure, because it is a product that I use just about daily. So, Doug, thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Happy to be here.
For CSUN 2014's SBN coverage, sponsored by HIMSS, I am Joe Steinkamp for the Saratalk Podcast Network. Hey everyone, Joe Steinkamp back here with CSUN pre-coverage. That's right, we're actually recording this a little bit before CSUN here on the Saratalk Podcast Network, and this coverage sponsored by HIMSS. And I'm here with my good friend Sam Adler of HumanWare. And Sam, good to have you here on the microphones away from the show floor before the craziness begins.
Exactly. Well, thank you for inviting me, and it's great to be able to do this interview without 20 people around you asking for questions.
Absolutely, because it would probably be about the Brilliant or the new Victor Reader Stream, and that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about some of the great low vision products that are being shown on the show floor and all the way up to convention season from HumanWare. So where do you want to start, Sam?
Well, CSUN is one of the biggest shows, and I'm really looking forward to it. And we've had a great show at ATIA earlier this year, and Prodigy was one of the hits on the floor. So we'll be talking about Prodigy a bit. But I do want to mention that on the low vision side, you'll be seeing some products that were on the market for years now, such as the SmartView Versa, which is the small handheld device, 4.3 inches, very lightweight. 6 ounces battery powered. So, you know, the little pocket viewer that that you can carry around with you when you're reading on the go. So we'll have that one. One of our big hits also is the SmartView 360. 360 is really, really popular because it's got a smaller footprint on the desk and allows you to do magnification on the desk, and also has the distance viewing and the self view. So there's four, there's three directions that you can use the camera, and it's on an articulated arm, and you can swivel it around and magnify whatever's at a distance or close.
The shaving view, I believe that's called.
Yes, exactly. Funny you mentioned that, because I did a video a couple of months ago and I was shaving in front of it, and they put that on YouTube. So, yep, all kinds of good uses for the 360. And one thing that makes it really, really popular is the VGA port at the back, where you can connect an iPad and enlarge your iPad screen to the 19-inch monitor of the 360.
Oh, wow. So does that require an app or anything, or does it just recognize it?
It's right there. All you need is the adapter. And as a promotional item, we've been providing that adapter for the iPads for the last couple of months, and it's still there. So it's in the box. You just connect it to your iPad and push the color button, and boom, there's your screen on a 19-inch monitor. Wow. It makes it really nice to enlarge and see things, you know, on a bigger screen.
Right.
So the 360 is popular, you know, it's a multitasking device. If I have to write or watch TV or do any manual tasking, makeup or shaving or whatever, like you mentioned, that's a great unit. So
stop by. I believe we called that luggable back in the day or transportable, if we go that craziness, to be able to move that from the kitchen to the office to the dining room to, or taking it to, say, a hotel at CSUN. So you have it there to read the menus within the hotel room.
Absolutely. It's very luggable. The fact, you know, that it's all in one piece. You don't have a computer required, so that you can just connect it to the wall plug and then power it on. That's it. Done deal. You can use the device. So it's very multitasking, easy to use. So that'll be a hit in our booth, our booth number 213 at CSUN. But you'll also want to stop by and talk and see Prodigy. That's our hit. That's the biggest product right now for the low vision devices.
You're right. It got a lot of great press over at ATIA. So what was so awesome about it? What feedback did you get from the floor?
People are amazed. You know, there's just so many things going on with Prodigy. We've pushed the limits. We're kind of pioneering in a new direction, because, as you know, Prodigy is a device that's a magnifier, but it's actually an electronic magnifier. So we've taken a totally different approach than a regular CCTV. And it just makes it different, you know. So there's three lines of products with Prodigy. You have the tablet, which is the 10-ounce portable device, 5-inch screen, completely tactile. So that's one piece that we have that people can carry with them. And then on the other side, the second model you have is the Duo, where the tablet docks into the base, and you can use a 20-inch or a 24-inch monitor, and you can use it as a desktop and magnify or perform any manual tasking under the inline CCTV setup, the desktop. And then after that, if you want, you just pull the tablet out and go to your reading chair or in bed, and you want to read the articles that you've captured, they're on the tablet, because the tablet is actually the brain within the Duo. So that one brings a lot of great benefits. And the third model we have is the one we call desktop, which is basically the entry-level CCTV, kind of. It has no modularity, so the electronics are all built within, so the tablet is not something you can separate from it. But it's a 20 or 24-inch CCTV magnifier that you can use as a desktop magnifier. So those three different models, the tablet, the Duo, the desktop. And one thing that people loved at ATIA was the price. We introduced the desktop at ATIA. The price is $1,999. And for a 20-inch CCTV or magnifier with all the capabilities that it has, so, you know, there's speech and there's Diamond Edge and all that, it's the less expensive model out there for the most benefits that you get. So people are really impressed about the price of these devices.
Wow. And I know the old UI from, say, the Extend or what you see in the Versa and what's happened before, but what... Can you give us an idea, and I mean, people should go and see this unit for themselves, but what are the controls like? What is the UI like? Do you have the same ability to change with high contrast, white on black, black on white, and like that in the past? Are we still seeing things with color images, being able to change foreground and background on these units?
Well, that's a great question, Joe. Basically, we wanted to keep all the features that you had on a traditional CCTV. The difference is that although you can do all those things, it's also a digital approach. So I'll give you an example. We have a live mode where you can perform any task like writing or reading a pill bottle or a crossword puzzles and so on. You can do that in color mode and any magnification. You can perform color schemes on there if you want them, or any you know, CCTV traditional settings are available. But the digital approach allows us to go in the mode where we call read mode. And if you have a document, you just put it on the platter, and a second later, it captures the document. And the difference between a CCTV and Prodigy is that then you have access to the full page that appears on the screen. And since it's digitalized, then you have a locator that you can move. And the approach is different because there's no XY platter on Prodigy. You put your finger on a touchpad, just like an iPhone or a tablet, and using that one finger, you can control the whole system. There's only three buttons on the front face: the read button, the back button, and the power button, and the touchpad. So at that point, if you see the full page in front of you, you can put your finger on the touchpad and then just browse onto the document and tap anywhere where you want to look at, and it'll magnify it just like a magnifying glass right there where you are.
Wow.
The big differences there also is that we have some patent technology inside what we call Diamond Edge. So basically, as we're taking a picture of the document, we're throwing away the imagery and we're switching it towards true text. And that's what we call Diamond Edge. So we're stripping out the image, putting in some text, and we're making this text so crisp that it's amazing. At any magnification level, Diamond Edge just looks perfect. So that's something that's unique to Prodigy. Either the Duo, the desktop, or the tablet, all three of them have this technology. And then you can read.
Feels more like a successor to the old My Reader than anything else, because there seems to be a lot of functionality that's come over time. And I think that's important because you guys have really been refining these units over the years, and so many parts of what you've done in previous units seem to be working their way into Prodigy.
You're right. It does look a lot like the My Reader. Included in the software, you'll see reading modes that we introduced with the My Reader at the time, such as the line mode or the column mode. So we still have those and the page mode. The difference is with Prodigy, now we have the processors, the intelligence in the palm of your hand that allows us to read it aloud. So it's taking, the My Reader would take a picture and show you the picture on the screen. Prodigy's going a step further. It's digitalizing the picture and it's putting you true words. So now, on top of having Diamond Edge, on top of having it very crisp and clear at any magnification in your color scheme, you also can have it with speech. So there's speech built in, and it'll go across the screen in any format that you've required, any magnification that you want, and you can hear it aloud on top of it.
Wow. Now, do you have the ability to save some of those pages for later retrieval, or is it one of those where you pretty much are doing it in live mode, and when you turn off the unit, it's pretty much gone, or the next page erases the last page?
No, Prodigy has memory. So the tablet itself, it's got 8 gigabytes of memory. And
wow.
That means thousands and thousands of documents. But for the first version, for version one, we only put 100 documents. So you can keep these 100 documents and read them at any time. It remembers last position. It'll show you exactly where you were magnifying. So that's all in its memory. And anytime you can go and retrieve them, delete them, capture more, and read anywhere on the go. Thanks to this modularity where you're capturing on your base, and then you can just walk away with the tablet, which is the brain of Prodigy.
Wow, that is really incredible and definitely worth coming by and seeing you and all your friends at Humanware. Where can people find out more about Humanware devices and see this video of you shaving?
Funny, you will find that on our website, so humanware.com. And if you want to see specifics on Prodigy, it's humanware.com/Prodigy. And there's where you'll find some YouTube videos. We have a video there that shows all three of our models, and you can even hear the device reading aloud. It's all on our website, but if not, you're welcome to come to our booth at CSUN, booth 213, and we'll be able to show you a demonstration. You can get it in your hands and feel the lightweight devices packed with all this technology.
That is fantastic. Well, I thank you for your time today, Sam. And this sounds like it's definitely worth a chance to go by and see it at the booth, or come by and see your Humanware rep, or go see it online. And of course, seek this out, because always being able to play with these things are a lot of fun. But it sounds like they are just getting so amazingly crazy cool that you just want to hold one of these in your hand. So thank you for your time today, Sam.
Well, thank you for the interview, and I'm looking forward to meet you and your staff and all the individuals that are interested at the booth at CSUN.
For Serotalk Podcast Network, recording pre-San Diego for our sponsors, HIMSS, this is Joe Steinkamp.
That's some great coverage to get us started off. And of course, we want to thank HIMSS, our sponsors, for this year's coverage. And as much as you enjoyed this coverage, there's plenty more to come, so fear not. Just continue to stay tuned, and more SPN CSUN coverage is on the way.
And as always, we want your feedback. Resources@serotalk.com is the email address to use. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio using either your iOS or Android device. And by the way, all of our CSUN coverage is right on the front page of iBlink. You can't miss it. certainly go to www.sarotalk.com because that's where all of our specials are going to be posted. You can view show notes and certainly visit the websites of all the companies that we visit with, and all of the products are there as well. Finally, you can certainly call the Blab Line, 866-997-2522. Follow us on Twitter. We'll try to use that CSUN hashtag, twitter.com/SaroTalk. Until next time, take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening.